Good morning, everybody. I want us to continue in prayer for those people who are being affected by the fires, the wildfires that are going on. We have a part of our family. They're not quite sure what's going on at their home. We've had others who have been evacuated. And so please be praying that the wind turns it back on itself and it runs out of fuel and just stops doing what it's doing. Amen. I have some good news. How about that? Anybody want some good news? The good news is that our air quality index has gotten better and it is at 355 instead of 509. Yesterday was the worst air quality ever measured in Spokane, ever. So it's better than yesterday. Thank God. If you consider yourself a non-smoker, you are incorrect. You are now considered a pack-a-dayer if you live in the Spokane Valley. So, all right, we are going to begin my message. And when I send in my title to Kim Brake and then she enters it into the thing, I send a picture of my notes. And it said, Poe. And she texted me back and it's like, is your message just P-O? I said, yes, it is. And you're going to find out what Poe is a little bit later. I'm going to try to keep this short. Why God allowed our air conditioning to go out in the worst possible time, I don't know. But nevertheless, I will praise Him. Amen? We're going to start in Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 8. It says, when Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am God Almighty. Walk before me faithfully and blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will greatly increase your numbers. Abram fell face down, and God said to him, as for me, this is my covenant with you. You will be the father of many nations. No longer will you be called Abram. Your name will be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you very fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings will come from you. I will establish my covenant as an everlasting covenant between me and you and your descendants after you for the generations to come, to be your God and the God of your descendants after you. The whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you, and I will be their God. I want to break this down a little bit because there's some very interesting things in there. The first is in verse 1 when he says that I am God Almighty. In the Hebrew, it is El Shaddai. El Shaddai, and it means the most powerful God. He lived in a land where there are a lot of gods. And when God addressed him, he says, I am El Shaddai, the most powerful God. In verse 5, he says, you will no longer be called Abram. Abram means exalted father. Your name will be Abraham, which means father of many. You see, you can be a father with just one child. You can be Abram or Avram with just one child. But when he inserted that he, he changed it into a father of many. He was saying, you are going to have more than one child. You will be a father to many nations. He also said, for I have made you a father of many nations. I have made, not I will make, but I have made you. Do I need to stop walking? Are we getting feedback? Or is that just in my head? It's just me? All right. I can live with that. He says, I have made you a father of many nations. Basically, it is already done. See, the reality with Abraham was that he didn't have any kids. And his wife didn't have any kids. In God's reality, he was saying, I have made you a father of many nations, which means you got to have some kids. How old was he? 99 years old. My mom is 93 years old. And I believe Sarah, I think we're going to find out, she was 90 when the visitor showed up and said, Sarah, by this time next year, we'll have a child. That was my mom 3 years ago. I can't even imagine. Nor could she. We're going to find out what happens. In verse 8, I just want to insert this. In verse 8, it says, the whole land of Canaan, where you now reside as a foreigner, I will give you as an everlasting possession to you and your descendants after you. If you follow the conflict that is going on in Israel, and there is a lot of anti-Israel establishment around the world, this is a promise that God made. And he says, I am giving it to you for everlasting. So no matter what your politics are on it, that land was not given to the Palestinians. It was given to the Israelites. And he will fulfill his promise as stated. And the Bible says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Like I said, it doesn't matter what your politics are. If you're bad mouth in Israel, be careful. Be very careful. Because according to the word, those who are not friends of Israel are not friends of God. Period. No matter what you think about it. Amen? All right, let's go ahead in Genesis chapter 17, verses 15 through 17. God also said to Abraham, as for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of many nations. Kings of peoples will come from her. And Abraham fell face down and he laughed and said to himself, will a son be born to a man 100 years old? And will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? God makes a statement to him. He falls face down first, but then he laughs to himself. And don't tell me that none of you would have done the very same thing. Then we have, in chapter 18, we have three visitors that come to visit Abraham. Starting in verse 9, it says, where is your wife Sarah? They asked him. There in the tent, he said. Then one of them said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, will have a son. Now Sarah was listening at the entrance to the tent, which was behind him. Abraham and Sarah were already very old, and Sarah was past the age of childbearing. So Sarah laughed to herself as she thought, after I am worn out and my Lord is old, will I now have this pleasure? In some translation, the worn out is shriveled up. Now that I am shriveled up, now I'm going to have a kid? For any of you grandparents that spend time with your grandkids who are very young, it is exhausting. We only have four. And it gets crazy when all four grandkids, I don't know how Beth and Roger did it, but it gets nuts. And by the time they leave, Belinda and I just sit down and go, what just happened? You're exhausted. And she's saying, now that I'm 90, now I'm going to have the pleasure of having a son? You see, in all of this respect, in all of these things, God's promises are reality. When he says, I am going to do this, it's as if it's already happened. It is reality. Being old and without a child was their reality. And oftentimes, our reality and God's reality are very, very different. Does that make sense? We look at the circumstances surrounding us. We look at where we are right now in the space and time continuum. We look at everything that's going on. And God is not limited to the space and time continuum. He knows the beginning from the end. And when He says, this is the way it is, this is the way it is, even if it is not our reality today. When God says, I will bless your marriage, you may be going through some difficult times, but you can count on it that it's going to be blessed. That's His reality versus ours. So I wanted to know what the definition was of reality. And it is the state or quality of being real. I hate when they use the root word in the definition because that doesn't tell me anything. So we have to go and look at real. Real means true, not merely nominal or apparent, existing or occurring as a fact, actual rather than imaginary, ideal, or fictitious. We have to go back into Genesis chapter 17 and look at something that is very, very important. And it's chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. God said, walk before me faithfully and be blameless. You want me to go handheld? I sound like I'm going in and out. Am I? Walk before me faithfully and be blameless. Then I will make my covenant between me and you and will greatly increase your numbers. Oftentimes, God's promises are if and then. If you walk in my ways, then I will bless you. If you do not keep my commands, then I will not bless you. It is conditional on how we act towards Him, on whether or not we walk in those promises. Now, there are some promises that God gave to the nation of Israel that are irrevocable. They are going to happen. Even when they were not faithful to Him, God was faithful to them. But many of His promises are conditional. If you do this, then I will do that. I don't know how many times I've had people come for counseling. I don't understand why I'm in this place. Well, how is your walk with the Lord? Well, you know, it's okay. Well, what do you expect? The statement that comes to mind is, God, bless me in my disobedience. Lord, I don't want to be obedient, but I still want me to bless you or bless me right where I'm at. It don't work like that. It does not work like that. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, it says, be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep His commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that the man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to Him and revering Him, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks and streams and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and the hills, a land with wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates, olive oil and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce and you will lack nothing. That was the promise that God made to Abraham hundreds of years before. He says, I am going to bring you out of this land in which you are a foreigner. You're going to go into a land where your people will be enslaved, your ancestors will be enslaved for 400 years, but then I am going to bring them out into a land flowing with milk and honey, where you will lack nothing. That was God's reality. The Israelites left Egypt, which was a period of bondage for them, and began their journey to Canaan, which contained the promises of God. It is where the promises that God made to Abraham years before would be fulfilled. But the journey that should have taken them 11 days on foot actually ended up taking them 40 years. It should have only taken them 11 days to go from Egypt to the promised land. And it took them 40 years. Why? Because God was going to test them to see if they were going to be obedient. Because if he had led them in and he knew that they were going to be disobedient, they would have been wiped out as a people. They would have been done. There would be no Israelites today. But God had to test them and humble them and show them, I need you to rely on me. I need you to be obedient to me. Because your disobedience will cause your annihilation. For 40 years, they wandered around the same desert, looking at the same rocks, eating the same food over and over and over again. For those of you who've ever played sports, I hated it when coaches told you to take another lap. When you didn't do something right, or you made an error, or you weren't listening, or whatever, take another lap. And that meant you had to go and just run. And you took another lap. God was telling the Israelites, take another lap. And they saw the same mountains, they saw the same rocks, they saw the same dirt, they saw the same sand for 40 years. And you can imagine, this is the generation that he brought out of Egypt. They witnessed all of his miracles. And they're walking around in a desert for 40 years. That was their reality. But God's reality was, I am going to lead you into these promises. And God's reality trumps man's reality. Amen? God had promised them a better life, a land flowing with milk and honey, where people would be as numerous as the sands of the seashore. But if that is what God had for them, why were they experiencing something completely different? In the life of the whole generation of Israelites, Canaan was their potential, which is the long version of Po. Nowadays, the younger generation, they make everything shorter. When I was growing up, the word potential, the coaches only said Po. Oli, don't waste your Po. The dude's got some serious Po, but he needs to live up to it. Which means there's some potential there. There was potential in that athlete that could raise the ceiling and he could be better than what he was right now. But it's only potential to reach it. The reality is, he ain't reached it yet. The Israelites had the potential to walk into the promised land. But because of their disobedience, their potential was never realized. Is that God's fault? No. He laid it all out for them. He said, all you got to do is obey me. They refused to do it. They guessed that 2 to 3 million Israelites walked out of Egypt, out of bondage. watched the hand of God at work on a daily basis, completely taken, supplied everything that they needed. It says their shoes never wore out and their feet didn't swell. I can't walk a mile without my feet swelling. But God had all of these things that he says, this is what I have for you. This is the reality. But the potential is the problem. Potential means something that can develop or become actual. Something that is not reality now, but it could happen. I'm going to have the music ministry team come up. I told you it was getting out of here shortly. As believers in Jesus Christ, we all are living in potential. We are all a work in progress. You see, God is going to make sure, he's not going to make sure, God is going to keep you alive as long as he wants you to be alive. And God wants nothing more than to reach your potential in him. And that takes obedience to his ways. You see, when we become a Christian, we have inherited the possibility of all of the promises that God has ever made. Now, there are some promises that he made just to the nation of Israel. But there is a scripture that says, when you are adopted into the family, you become an heir of the seed of Abraham. So there are promises that we have at our disposal that were specifically made for the Israelites, but that we have access to them. Everything that he says, every promise that he made, is the potential that we have as believers. Whether we're walking in them right now or we're not. And a lot of that has to do with us. Are we being obedient to him? Are we being obedient to his ways? Or are we saying, I want to live my life however I want, but I still want you to bless me, God. Good luck with that. Good luck with that. I look back at my younger days, and my thanksgiving to God is always, thank you for protecting me in my stupidity. And as my girls were growing up, I said the same prayer. Because when you're young and dumb, you don't think you're young and dumb. It's going to take you getting older to realize, holy crap, I was young and dumb. And that is not a slam on you young people. But as parents, pray over your kids. Protect them in their stupidity. I see some of the decisions that my granddaughter makes, and I'm thinking, she's only two. But the choices that she makes, it's like, why would you do that? And Papa's prayer is, Lord, protect her. Because she ain't got no fear. She lives life full bore. There's no first, second, third, or reverse. This girl is in overdrive 100% of the time. You tell her not to stand on a chair, she stands on the chair. And then she waits to see if you see her standing on the chair. And we have this little chair, I think she's here today. If she is, take a look. She looks like she just went a few rounds with Rocky Balboa. Because she stood on the chair, and then she leaned forward. Well, guess what happens? Gravity kicks in. And she went, she's got a slice here, she's got a slice here. I had to explain to CPS, it was her fault, not ours. But some of us live our lives like that, and we expect God to protect us. You see, when we make poor choices in our lives, there are going to be consequences. When we make those poor choices and we repent, God forgives us of those poor choices. But there's still consequences. When David asked for forgiveness for having sex with another woman and then having her husband killed, God says, yes, your sins are forgiven, but I'm still taking the life of the child. That was the consequence. It seems harsh, but in God's law, a life for a life. That's why the sacrifices were so important. When we sin, we have sinned against God, and the penalty is death. But He allows the payment of blood to atone for those sins. So every time an Israelite sinned, he owed blood to God. That's why they sacrificed so many animals. And they had to do it over and over and over again, because those sacrifices were not perfect until God sent His Son. And He shed His blood as a perfect sacrifice for us. You see, we are the ones that deserve to be on the cross. We are the ones that deserved to be crucified. That was the penalty that we were required to pay to be right with God. And Jesus says, nope, I'll do it. I will be that payment, because I want every person that has ever breathed to be reconciled to my Heavenly Father. That's what it's all about. Walk in that potential. Strive for that potential. Reach that potential. And the way you do that is by being discipled and discipling others. That's how it happens. Jesus modeled it with the disciples and the apostles, and He passed it on to the early church, and there's nowhere in the scriptures that says that was supposed to stop with them. It is to continue until He returns. That's what we do here at New Hope Christian Center. We encourage, we teach, we rebuke, we correct, we learn, we fall down together, we get up together. That's what being a family is all about. And that is what we are going to do and continue to do as long as I'm alive. And obviously I'm supposed to still be up here, because if I wasn't, I wouldn't be. Amen? Please stand. One of the phrases that you hear a lot if you watch any sports is, oh, this guy's got a lot of potential. This guy's got a lot of potential. He's not there yet, but he's got a lot of potential. And one of the things that you never want to hear is, what a waste of potential. You see, when we become believers, we have a lot of potential. Don't waste it. I don't ever want to hear my Heavenly Father say, Jim, you are a waste of potential. What a terrible place to be. Grab onto the fact that God's reality may not be your reality right now, but if He said it, it's true. Live it out. Walk in it. Walk in that faith. Increase that faith so that we can reach the potential that God has for each and every one of us. And the thing is, He'll give you everything you need. Just use it. Just use it. Don't put the gifts that He's given you on the shelf. take them off, dust them off, and put them to use. And don't ask for more gifts until you utilize and use the ones that you're supposed to use in right now. Don't look at someone else and go, I want Pastor Aaron's gift. No. If God wanted me to have Pastor Aaron's gift, he would have given it to me. Whatever gift that is. He has giftings that I do not have. My wife has gifts that I do not have. So utilize the ones that he has given you. And when you are faithful with little, he will make you faithful with much. Reach that potential. Reach that potential. Amen. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, because your word is what is reality. We may look around in the culture today and it may not seem like it is truth, but it is absolute 100% truth. And truth doesn't care what you think about it. Truth doesn't care if you believe in it or not. Truth never fails, and truth never changes. Lord, help us to walk in that reality. No matter what's going on in our lives today, Lord, help us to cling on to your promises so that we can be utilized for your purposes and your plans. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day. I pray that you would dismiss us with your blessing. We pray for all of those families who are dealing with the fires. Lord Jesus, I just pray a hedge of protection around their property. Set your angels around them, Lord Jesus. You are King of Kings, you are Lord of Lords, and you are El Shaddai, the most powerful God. And you are still on the throne. And all God's people said, amen. You are dismissed. Have a great day.